The Word of God is very rich. We will never, ever completely know everything. Right? Our knowledge of Him should continue to increase, to grow. Just like when you go to school, start with kindergarten. Don't think after you graduate at kindergarten, now you know everything. Right? Even when you graduate high school, you think you know everything already? Elizabeth? Oh, but you graduate high school. Well, you still have to go on to college. And after you finish college, you think you know everything. There are many more things that you'll have to find out and discover. Even if you finish college, you have to go to grad school. Right? How about you, Timo? You know everything now?
No. So much more.
So much more? How much more?
Vastly.
Paul talks about the unsearchable riches. God is so great. God is infinite. The Most High God, the Almighty One. And how can we claim or say that we know Him enough? I'm always impressed with Paul in the book of Philippians. Right? He said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. I said, my, if such an apostle like Paul said that, who is going to be perfected? Who can be perfected? How many years have you been in the churches?
Many years.
Many years, so you must be already perfected. You graduated. Spiritually, there's no graduation. Sorry. No graduation. Why do I say this? Because I always remember what an older brother said, I have seen everything that needs to be seen in the Bible. I never forget that. I heard it myself. I thought to myself, my, this man has reached the limit of God. Perhaps many who was in that meeting were impressed. Wow. Wow, what? It's a bow wow. How can anybody say that? The Word of God is without limit, unfathomable. Paul talks about the height, the depth, the length and the width. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. And the goal is that we will be filled to the fullness of God. How full is the fullness? You know what John said at the very end of the Gospel? If we are to record everything that Jesus has done, not even the whole ocean could contain.
The whole earth cannot contain all the books.
Right. The whole world, even the whole universe could not contain. How big is God? How great is He? I feel sorry for the person who said that. And he claims he knows God. Right. The more you know Him, the more you realize you don't know Him. How big is the universe?
So big we don't know.
How far have you been up there? Only about 30,000 feet maybe, huh? And what did you see there? Nothing. Because you're confined in a plane. Right. So it'll take eternity for us to know this wonderful God. And our desire today is to know Him in our daily life. So, praise the Lord for that. I hope that all of us will have such a humble heart before God to have a desire to know Him more and more. No wonder in the book of Philippians, Paul says, I want to know Him. Because there's so much that we don't know. You know about His resurrection? Paul says he wants to know what? The power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about what? The exceeding greatness of this power toward us who believe. The power that God used to raise up Jesus Christ from the dead. Try it. Well, you don't even have to raise up other people from the dead. Raise up yourself from the dead. How much death are we experiencing in our flesh that we cannot even overcome? No wonder we need the power of His resurrection. No wonder you can see this morning the golden lampstand is like an almond tree. I don't know. You're an artist. Okay, our brother is an artist here. Can you picture that golden lampstand with six branches and a trunk? It's just like a tree. Full of what? Tulpin?
No.
Tulip?
No.
Tulip? You changed your mind now, eh?
I prefer almonds.
I'm glad you did. Full of almonds. With flowers and bud and fresh. That means it's fresh. Because almonds really is the first tree that buds after winter, after a very strong winter. So that is a picture of the wonderful resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So is the church in Toronto an almond tree?
Hope so.
Hope so. Oh, you're not sure. You're just hoping. The Lord knows. That's a better answer. The Lord knows. Right. This is what the Lord really wants. A golden, shining lampstand. We just talk about the church, but I hardly heard anyone. Where are you going this morning? Oh, I'm going to the church. What? You are here and the church is there? You're going there? That means you're not there. We are the church. Right. The golden, shining lampstand. This is what the last book of the Bible tells us. And it's a mystery. The last verse of chapter 1 says, Right, I will show you the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden lampstands. What is a mystery? Can you define to me, Mo, what is a mystery?
Something hidden.
Okay, so have you found it?
I'm searching.
You're searching. But even if you find it, it's still very mysterious. It's very mysterious. Have you ever read something that is mysterious? Not only hidden, but is hard to fathom, hard to understand. You need a revelation from God. Without the revelation, nobody can know. But the Lord is willing and desirous to show us. I will show you the mystery of the seven stars. And the mystery also tells us that not too many people are interested. Too mysterious for them. They're not asking, what is it? The golden lampstand. Have you ever heard people? Oh, where are you going? Oh, huh, the golden lampstand. And the golden lampstand is placed where? In the outer court? Displayed to show everybody? A holy place. And who can enter in? Only the priest. What does it tell you? You must be the priest. You must be a part of the priesthood. If not, you cannot see. Right. This is a wonderful mystery. Very strange. Out of one piece of gold, you have to hammer it into this wonderful golden lampstand. And it was God who gave wisdom to that person who could do it. Otherwise, nobody could have done it. Without wisdom from God. This is why we all need a spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding. And even his counseling. Even if you have wisdom, you still need counseling. How to do it. What to do. You know, when the Lord was on this earth, he always spoke in parables. So that nobody else could understand. And many people didn't care. But he always secretly, after he told his disciples about the parables, and he explained to them. Have you ever asked the Lord to explain to you? Or do you go right to the internet and let the AI explain to you? How to build a golden lampstand? You remember what Paul says? He's a wise master builder. He builds everything. No? Did he say he's going to build everything? Timo? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what did he say? He only builds what? The foundation. That's all he built. And then he says, it depends on everyone, how everyone builds on this foundation. That means you have your part. You build it. You're part of that building. So the church depends on the pastor. How the pastor builds. And how the elder is built. How about that? No. What it Paul says, take heed how everyone builds upon this foundation. Did he tell you how? What did Paul say? How? How to build? One was hammer. The other one was whatever tools you use to build. What was his emphasis? The material. Wood, hay, and stubble. No? What?
Gold, silver, precious stones.
They're very cheap stuff, right? Where do you get your gold from? Have you asked God for gold today? Did you come to the Lord Jesus, says the Lord, I'm going to pay the price to buy some gold from you? How about you, Rahul? Not Rahul, Nehemiah. Because you don't have that concept. Lord, I need more gold from you. Not physical gold, but it's a very special heavenly gold, which is God himself, the very nature of God. And every word of God is more precious than gold. The divine nature of God. Now the doctrine. We all have so much knowledge, but we don't have much gold. Have you ever considered, Finns, how much gold you have from him? He has to consider. But the way he shows us means no, he didn't. But you know how much money you have in your account. You see. You know how much money you have in your bank account. But you don't know how much gold you have for the building up of God's golden lampstand. How about you, Ronnie? We're all the same. Because it is not in our concept, in our mind, in our heart. Lord, I need more of your substance. Not for myself, but for the building up of your church. For the building up of this golden lampstand, how can each individual of us have so much gold to build a lampstand? Right, Steve? Brother Steve, how much gold? Not enough. I also don't have enough. Do you have enough? You may have some, right? That's why we need to come together and bring this gold together. Where did the gold in Exodus chapter 25 come from?
Free will offering.
Free will offering. If you're not willing to give up your gold ring, earrings, your gold necklace, your whatever gold you have, and bring it and consecrate it to God, for the building up of this wonderful lampstand, where do you think Moses is going to get so much gold at that time? God commanded, whoever willingly wants to consecrate. You may not have that much, and I may not have that much. What about you, Peter? Also not much, but you have a little bit. Okay. Praise the Lord. Are you willing to give it up for the building up of the golden lampstands? Don't bring junk. God wants pure gold. Many of us never thought about it. Yeah. We want to gain Christ. He's the real gold. The church, what is the definition of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1? The church, the fullness of wonderful music. Fullness of doctrines and teachings. Full activities, so much work in everything. Is that a church? Our young brother knows what Ephesians chapter 1 in the last verse says. The church, the body of Christ, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Wow. And where is that fullness going to come from? From every one of us gaining Christ, experiencing Christ. Have you ever thought your experience of Christ is important for the building of the church? Otherwise, where can we get the substance? The silver. Silver signifies the redemptive work of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord wants to save each one of us to the uttermost. So how much salvation have we all experienced? Now, where is the silver coming from? You know, the heavenly Jerusalem is also built with precious stones. Who are the precious stones in the New Jerusalem? Ah, at least the foundation stones are the 12 apostles. Each of them is a precious stone. Are you one of them, the precious stone? He always liked to smile. You should say, yes, I'm in the process of transformation from clay, because we're all made of clay. To be transformed day by day, to become a precious stone. Through the substance and through temperature and pressure and time. Have you ever seen a petrified piece of wood? Do you have one? Not anymore. Are you petrified? To be the precious stones to build up, the living stones. Peter says, as living stones, and even the Lord Himself is a precious stone, precious for God. He was denied by the Jews, but he was precious for God. I don't care what people say about you and me. I care about what God says. They may hate you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. I don't care. I'm not going to fight with anybody or argue with them. I don't care. As long as the Lord cares for you and appreciate you. And you're precious to Him. That's good enough. Who cares what other people says? How did all the Jews during the time when the Lord was on this earth, how did they assess Christ? A wonderful person? They said all kinds of bad things about Him. Lies. Yeah, just like somebody we knew here in the States. But he was precious for God. Yeah. So how precious are we to God? Have you ever come to the Lord as to a living stone? You come to him as a savior. But Peter says, to him, you come to him as to a, what? A living stone. What is a stone for? To be the cornerstone for God's building. Even a precious stone. So at the very end, you can see that golden, wonderful city. It has the glory just like God in Revelation chapter 4. The glory of a jasper stone. Revelation is full of picture, and you need to have a view. Don't just read, you need to see a picture. So goes the saying, a picture is worth, what, a thousand, more than a thousand words. It's full of wonderful pictures. A golden, shining lampstand. When you go back to Toronto, to Vancouver, you should tell the Lord, Lord, we want a golden lampstand here. Don't use the word church, church, church. You'll be church out. You ask people, what is the church? Nobody can tell you. Oh, yeah, that's that building around the corner with a ding-dong on top. But nobody would tell you it's a golden lampstand. Everything else is cheap, but not a golden lampstand for God. Yeah. So you need this vision. And it's a mystery to so many people because they don't see it. They don't understand it. But what about you? What about us today? May the Lord give us an understanding. We not only need life, but we need resurrection life. In John chapter 11, the Lord did not just say, I am the life, but he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Why? Because death has penetrated our being. That's why we are weak. In many ways, we are weak toward the worldly things we hold. Full of energy and power. But when it comes to the priesthood, when it comes to following the Lord and being obedient to him, we are powerless, we are dead. So we not only need his life, we need his resurrection life. That's why Romans chapter 8 says, this body is a mortal body, the body of death. Paul says, woe unto me. Who is going to save me from the body of this death? You may think you have a healthy body. Yes, in business and worldly things and doing all kinds of things, you're very healthy. But when it comes to doing spiritual things, you're dead. No? Is that a little bit of your experience? A lot. But doing other things in the world, you're readily doing it. Right? But when it comes to obey, to do the will of the Father, oh, I'm tired. When doing other things, you're awake, even until 2 o'clock in the morning. But when you read the Bible, after 5 minutes, you're so tired, your eyelids is just like, not eyelids, but I led. As heavy as lead. You can't even open it. So do you have eyelids or eyelid? Well, because death is there. This is why in Romans 8 it says the Spirit who raised up Jesus from the dead, three times it says in verse 11, dwells in us. It's not just any spirit, but a spirit, not just spirit of the Lord, a spirit specifically who raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in us. What for? To give us life to this mortal body. Many people ask, are you tired? Do I look tired? Doesn't mean that I'm a superhuman, no. But when it comes to doing the will of the Father, the resurrection life is there to sustain our mortal body. This is why the golden lampstand is full of almonds. Right? You have to see the vision. I cannot explain to you, but that picture should tell you everything. And this morning, we really saw that we need to be filled with a golden oil. Zechariah chapter 4 tells us, this is golden oil. Have you ever seen a golden oil? Well, you see it in Zechariah chapter 4. Who are these two olive trees that provide the golden oil for the lampstand? It's a special oil. Have you ever seen one? Of course you have some. The anointing in you. Don't you have the anointing in you? Golden oil. It's the seven spirits of God. Number seven is a wonderful number, but I'm not going into that. It's not that important right now, today, right? Some other time we'll talk about it. But we need to have this oil filled in our being every day. The Lord is not going to fill you up for 1 week. Oh, I have enough oil for 1 week. How about picking up manna in the wilderness? You can pick up so much for 1 week. Oh, okay, for 2 days. No. So how much can you pick? What? Only for 1 day? What would you do if you're picking manna there in the wilderness during the time of Moses? Emmanuel, how much do you think we should pick? Only enough for 1 day. It's because the Lord says if you picked for 2 days and you didn't finish that portion for 1 day, the manna will breed worms, and you'll be eating worms, not manna, the second day. The same thing. Right. Every day you need to eat from this bread of life, from the tree of life, and to drink from the living water, and to breathe in the breath of life. That is the way to go on. I don't have any special way to give you. This is God's way. The golden lampstand, just have enough space to contain oil for one day. This is what a high priest has to go in every day to pour fresh olive oil into the lampstand and to trim it every day. How often do you shave every day? How often do you shave? Once a month? What happens if you only shave once a month? You shave every day. And so there are certain things that are important to do every day. Praise the Lord. This is the spiritual law, the law of life. If you don't do it, then your spiritual life will not be normal. And if you don't add oil to the golden lampstand, and the priest, the high priest, Aaron, says, "Oh, I don't feel like it today. I'm going to take 1 week vacation." There's going to be trouble. So learn not to be spiritually lazy, slothful. Be diligent, like what Peter says. Right? What did Peter say in 2 Peter chapter 1? Diligent. You should underline that word diligent. Be diligent. Okay. Then the lampstand will be burning and shining. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, so much for the lampstand. Let us now go back to Revelation. Chapter 1, let's talk about the second mystery, the mystery of the seven stars. Even many years ago, I hardly heard anyone at that time speak or speaking about the stars. In Revelation chapter 1, they all talk about the golden lampstand. Not always, but they mention it. And we have a song, "The Church, the Lampstand." But that's all. What about the stars? I remember in 2010, in Bangkok, at the conference for the serving ones, we had a conference about the mystery of the seven stars. 4 days or 5 days. Just about the mystery of the seven stars. But here we only have one meeting, half a meeting. You have read definitely concerning those messages, right, Aussie? Have you, right? Some of you must have read. A lot of the people who read it, they are not very happy because they thought I was talking about them. But it was not me talking about them. It is the Lord talking about them. Right. I remember even asking during the meeting, one of the meetings, I asked the saints, "What do you think is more important? The lampstands, the golden lampstands, or the stars?" Everyone, without exception, says the golden lampstand is the most important. And when I told them no, they were all surprised. And some even came up to me, how can you say that the stars are more important than a lampstand? What are you going to say? Look at the United States today. Isn't it wonderful? America. USA. It's a wonderful country. But if you have the Democrats ruling, what's going to happen to USA? So what is more important, USA or the government of USA? You tell me. Right, Steve? Look what happened to Arizona, the border crisis there. Is that a wonderful scene? It's a horrible scene. So, but it's USA. What? It all depends on the people running the USA. Actually, the government is supposed to be the servant of the nation, right? That's why it's called the ministry of this, ministry of that, your defense ministry. And the government is supposed to be the servant. But now it became what? The ruler of the nation. And making everybody their slaves. It's a very important example. Yeah. The servants became the master. So, to whom did the Lord write this seven epistles to? To the church in Laodicea. Is that what it says? To the church in Ephesus. No. What? To the messengers. What are the messengers? The stars. When they write a letter to the church in Toronto, who is going to open the letter? Who? You? It's the elders representing the church. That's normal. That's why the Lord set up the elders not to be the master, not to rule over the churches, not to be the king there. Just like what the Lord says, the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. Who should serve who? Are you the responsible brother, or are you a servant of the church? People think an elder is a position. For many years I've been telling people in the churches, eldership is not a position. If it is, then you're a slave, the position of a slave. So, Vince, you expect your children to serve you? But you're the father. They should be serving you. No. That's not how it works. What? You are the servant? Really? Are you the servant? Right. So the stars are very important. Don't think the stars are not important. That's why the Lord wrote to the stars. And the stars are not the angels. I've never seen an angel at any church I attended. Have you ever seen, oh, there's a statue of angels. Well, that, those are dead angels, okay? They're not angels. But even the word angelos is what? Is a messenger, a servant. A servant, a messenger. I don't know why people like to be elders or forget about it. A servant, the Lord came to serve us. Right? To serve us. Even Peter says, the elders, and Peter was a co-elder. He also was an elder in the church in Jerusalem. He said the elders should not rule like a king. There's a Philip Free translation says should be like a little tin gods. You know, a tin gods, that's like tin soldiers. Yeah. And he used the word tin gods. A fake. Don't be a ruler. Because the church is not yours. The church belongs to God. The apostles are the servants, the serving ones. Even the Lord Jesus, when he came, Isaiah clearly tells us the Lord Jesus is God's servant to serve us. He's a servant of God, a faithful one. And be an example. How many examples the Lord has given to his disciples? Who washed the feet of whom? Whose feet? The Lord washed their feet and says, I'm doing this, giving you an example to follow. Right. The Lord serves them. The Lord serves them. Yeah. So the messengers, the stars are very important. Let us read a few verses. I think we have in the outline, we have to go to the outline. And you can see there are some verses. Someone read, let's say Daniel chapter 12. How about read Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Can someone read it, please, to us? Concerning the matter of the stars.
Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
Wow. Again, again.
Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever and ever.
Are you a star? Star is a heavenly body. So it is not just the corporateness. Have you ever seen the corporate stars? But stars are individual shining stars. So it's not just the body, the body, the body, like we sang the song tonight. Because I went through that and saw, my goodness, at the end, everybody's depending on a body. And what about if the body is sick? What are you going to do? Have you ever noticed when the Lord wrote to the churches, to the seven churches, at the end, he says, to him who overcomes. So it's not the body that overcomes, but the individual who overcomes. Otherwise, I know so many people says, oh, I know it's wrong, but this is the body. Mm-hmm. What body?
Mm. What does that mean?
Huh?
What does that mean? I know it's wrong.
They saw so many things that are wrong in the church.
But they want to preserve the...
No, but they cannot leave because this is the body. Oh. This is the church, one city, one church. I can't leave. So the so-called body became a prison. So the Lord says, to him who overcomes, you have to overcome. Because it's not, the whole church is an overcoming church. But even if Philadelphia is well-pleasing to God, the Lord still says you hold what you have because I've seen so many churches lost what they had. Right. So don't just be emphasizing one side and neglect the other. You are responsible for yourself. Yes, there is a corporate aspect, but there is also an individual aspect. Right. This is why in the Roman Catholic Church, for example, they dare not to leave. Because if you leave that so-called church, you're doomed. You're lost forever. It's the same principle that we saw in so many different places. No, there is, yes, a corporate aspect, the church, the body of Christ, that's right. But there is also an individual aspect to him who overcomes. So at a judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will not say, okay, now it's the turn of the church in Fountain Valley. Please all stand up. He's going to judge you corporately? No. You're going to, every one of us is going to give an account of his own life, how he lives on this earth, not give an account of the church life. Yes, the church is corporate for the expression, but the responsibility is individual. You are responsible for your own spiritual life. Don't blame the church. Oh, I'm like this because the church make me like this. Oh, yeah, really. So you're supposed to go along, even if it's wrong, eh? No. No, definitely not like that. God is righteous. To him who overcomes, individual. Not to the church who overcomes, but to him who overcomes. Amen. This is serious, and we all need to see this. And this is why the church needs a corporate stars. Why do I use the word corporate stars? Because the elders... It's not just one elder, oh, he'll become the king there. It's an eldership, three or four, to be a witness. Right. Not just one elder, or, okay, you have a group of elders, five, and then there's a one super one. No, forget about that. There's no super elder. No, but bearing the burden together. Yeah. Right. This is why you have the stars, the messenger. It's a messenger. And there should be stars shining. Are you shining? If you're not shining, you're not qualified to be one of the messenger. And you should be heavenly, because the star is the heavenly body. Remember, the whole city of Jerusalem descends out of heaven from God. So it has to be heavenly. But if the leading ones are not heavenly, but earthly, don't be surprised if the whole church becomes earthly and earthy and dirty. Muddy. Don't be surprised. Right. This is why it's a big responsibility to be a messenger. This is the reason why the Lord wrote to the messenger of each church. That's very normal. Right. It's very normal. Right. So you have to be heavenly. You have to be shining. And like Daniel says, you have to be one who leads many to righteousness. To righteousness. You can know a lot of doctrine, but maybe you yourself are not righteous. So to be a messenger is very important. Because you're responsible for the whole flock, to shepherd the flock of God. That's what Paul told the elders in Ephesus. On his way to Jerusalem, he called the elders of the church in Ephesus and told them, God has appointed you, it's very serious, to shepherd the flock of God. It's the flock of God, not your flock. The flock of God. Right. And to be an example. And remember the qualifications. Not very easy, not very simple. And then you have to be at the right hand of that great, wonderful, glorious, heavenly high priest. You cannot make your own decision. You're in the right hand of the Lord. Held at his right hand, meaning to say you're under his authority. You don't have authority in yourself. If you're out of the right hand of the Lord, in Revelation chapter 1, then you're out. You're no longer in his right hand, meaning to say you're no longer under his authority. Then at the very end, the church becomes your church. It's not his church anymore. It's a very grave responsibility. Don't think it is easy. Right. It's not a position. I'm saying that for many years now, and I'm saying it again today. Don't think you have a position. No. If at all, you're a servant, a slave, not only serving the Lord, but you're serving the saints. Just like the Lord. He served us. This is important. This is important. Not just as an elder, but there are many different services. Some people are not elders, but I'm a deacon. I'm responsible for that group. Right? I'm responsible for this group. I'm leading the sisters meeting. I'm the super sister. Goodness. We serve according to the measure of grace, that's all. Nobody is above anybody. If you think you're above anyone in the church, you're already fallen. You're already fallen. You better quit and reassign. You'll be reassigned. You have to resign. Step down. You're too high up. You step down. No. We serve one another. It's so wonderful to serve one another without a position. Then you are a person that's willing to also listen to others. Not everybody must listen to you. That is devastating. That will destroy the church. So the stars are right there in the right hand of the Lord. Faithful. And what is a messenger? What does a messenger do? Write your own message. You're a messenger who writes your own message to the churches. Then you're not a messenger. A messenger only delivers the message written by God, spoken by God. You're sent by God to deliver a message. Don't write your own message. Then you become a false teacher and a false prophet and mislead the church. And you think you're the boss. And you think you know better than other people. You're a little bit higher. No. No. We are not. Right. Each one, Paul says, serves according to the measure of grace the Lord has given to you. Even Peter said the same thing. Right. Each one has a different measure. So let us serve one another together according to the measure of grace. If we don't do this, then there will be sooner or later problems and troubles and envy and strife. And why should you decide and not me, huh? Why should I listen to you and not you to me? Huh? Who are you? Oh my goodness, if that happens in a church life, then we fall into the same problem with the devil in the very beginning. That's why there are so many organizations, religious organizations in this world, and it didn't work. It didn't work, because that is not a way. In Zion, that is not a way. In the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. No. So, the mystery of the seven stars. So the brothers, if you give a message, spend time to pray before the Lord. Actually, you should be ready always, not just when it's your turn. When it's your turn. Oh, it's my turn next Sunday. I better spend time with the Lord this week. Oh, no, I'll do it on Saturday. I'll do it on Saturday. No, you should be ready at any time. And at all time, that the Lord will give you the message to deliver. You should be faithful. And this is why, look at John, in the Epistle of John. He only shares what he has seen and heard. nothing else and nothing more. He's a real star. He's a real star. This is why we appreciate so much when we came to 1 John, right? I hope you all appreciate that. That which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes have beheld, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And this life was manifested to them. And that which we have seen, we fellowship with you. He's just delivering the message that he has seen and heard. And that's why he should. And this is the message. He didn't say, and this is my message. This is the message that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Isn't that wonderful? You like to deliver such a message? A message of light? Is it so complicated? No, it is not so complicated. And the second message is God is love. These two messages he delivered. And we all need to see this. We are just messengers. Let's read Malachi chapter 2. Of course, we can read Haggai, but let's just jump to Malachi chapter 2, and then we can end it. I don't need to say more, right? Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, or 6 and 7. Yeah. Somebody read it for us.
Truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
You want to be a priest? You should be this kind of a priest. Remember those verses. We have gone through Malachi not too long ago, right? I hope you remember these verses. It's not easy to be a priest. At the same time, we should be a messenger. A messenger. What kind of messenger did he say there?
The Lord of hosts.
Of the Lord of hosts. And what should be in his lips? The word of truth. And the law of the Lord. Right. Because he is a messenger of the Lord. It's not easy. Don't think it is easy, but then don't say, okay, it's not easy, I'm not going to be a priest. No. It is not easy, but it is not impossible. The Lord needs faithful messengers in all the churches. Without these kind of messengers, I am not sure how the golden lampstand will fare to be the testimony of God. Right. So there are two mysteries here that are inseparable. One hand, it is the golden lampstand. On the other hand, you have the seven stars, and these two must be together. in order for the lampstands to work. Simple and clear, right? Amen? Peter, amen? Good. And even the Lord himself at the very end of the Bible shows us he is the bright and morning star. He's not just a savior. Right. He's not just this great high priest walking in the midst, but he is the bright and morning star as a reward for those who are faithful and overcomers. The Lord promised to give him the morning star. When does the morning star appear? 10 o'clock in the morning? 7 o'clock? What time? Between 4 and 5, you're right. When everybody else is sleeping. And those who are still sleeping, they won't see the morning star. And when the sun shines, it's too late. So the sunshine is the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, public appearing to everybody. But those who are awake, waiting for the Lord's return, they will be the one who see the morning star. And it's a reward for those who are waiting for him to return, preparing for the Lord to come back. Amen. He is the bright and morning star. I hope we will all see this wonderful bright and morning star. Amen. Okay? Amen. In Houston, watch out for the bright and morning star, right? I tell the Lord, I want to see this star. Hey, sometimes you have to wake up a little bit early to take a look at a bright and morning star. That's good. Right. So that we can all be ready for the Lord's soon return. Amen. So, I'm on time today. Praise the Lord.